This morning, we are super blessed to have Jeremy Westbrook to come and speak to us. So over the past couple of months, we've had Rich Halcombe, who's come, who kind of represents established churches in our city, in our network. We've had Chad Grigsby, who's part of our team, who represents church planting in our network. Jeremy represents our network of churches throughout Ohio, over 700 plus churches. And whenever he's not out teaching at one of those 700 plus churches, he and Jennifer have made Life Point their home. So you'll see him, them and their family around here a good bit. So we're super thrilled to have him be here with us today. The work, the mission that he represents in Ohio, God's just brought them back from Florida. I'm sure he'll tell more of that story. I know what we're all thinking. Why would you move here from Florida in the middle of winter, right? But Jeremy, he'll tell you more of that story. So would you give him a big round of applause and welcome him to come and be with us this morning.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, take your copy of God's Word. Go to Nehemiah chapter 2. That's where we're going to be this morning. And if you got a copy of the Word, you can go there. It'll be on the screens as well. As one pastor said, I love to see the glow on your faces or hear the rustling of the pages, okay? So it doesn't matter if you got a physical copy or a digital copy, you can go there as well. And as you're turning to Nehemiah 2, let me just say a couple of quick things this morning, things that you already know and you're already familiar with. Number one, you are extremely blessed to have Dean Foulkes as your pastor. You know that? Extremely, extremely blessed. Dean is just one of the greatest friends I've ever had over 15 years. He's kind of responsible for how I got here in 2007, 2008 to be a church planter in the first place, but I'll talk about that in a moment. Number two, I just want to thank you. Your generosity and your faithfulness is off the charts. And the Apostle Paul had two words on his heart constantly, and that was the words thank you. As I traveled our churches, I say thank you because of your generosity. We're able to start many churches. We're able to strengthen churches to get stronger and to reach more people. We're able to send missionaries all around the world. And I just want to say thank you because you're a leader in our state. You're a faithful example to so many other people in your generosity. So from me to you, I want you to hear that, the words thank you, because of what you do when you give, you are able to start churches locally, nationally, and all around the world. And Pastor Dean does a great job every week telling you where the generosity goes and what it does. But I just want to, this is a great moment for me to say thanks, and I just want to do that, okay? So thank you for those two things. And a couple days ago, I looked at and researched top three things on search engines, Google, different places people were looking for heading into this new year. You can understand probably the number one thing they researched was what? Get healthy. Number two, get organized, right? People are tired of watching the show Hoarders, all right? So they're ready to be done with that. So get healthy, get organized. Number three, the search was get the most out of life. People are always looking to figure out how to get the most out of their life. And so, but people have always, I feel like, been doing that. People have always been looking, especially in times of transition, times of turbulence. Many years ago, when I was speaking at a conference out west, I was flying back to Columbus, Ohio, because as a pastor, Sunday comes every week. And so I was on the plane working on my message for Sunday morning for the church I was planting and pastoring at the time out in Marysville. And I was wearing the colors, right? I was wearing scarlet and gray. I was a good church planter in Ohio. I was wearing the colors. I had the shoes, the shirt, the hat. I mean, and a lady turned around and she looked at me and she said, "Sir, are you a coach for Ohio State?" And I said, "No, ma'am, I'm just a church planter in Marysville." And she said, "Oh, I thought you were important." And then she turned around and just went about her way for about an hour. And I thought, okay, take that, humble pie, big slice, let's do it. And but I always have to somehow fly through Chicago to get to Columbus out from out west. And I try to avoid O'Hare at all costs, but this time I couldn't. And the stewardess came on and the pilot came on and said, "Hey, this is going to be a bad flight, not serving anything, buckle up, just hope we got to land." You don't really want to hear your pilot say those things. And so we're sitting there and it gets a little turbulent and everybody all of a sudden goes silent. It goes dark. No one's on their phone. No one's on their laptop. And we start moving up and down about 1,000 feet. I mean, we're taking some pretty bad clips. And that lady turned around and she said, "Did you say you were a pastor?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, that's me, yeah." And she said, "Well, I'm just praying that God's not done with you yet," you know? So people are always looking to get the most out of life. And so I just want to take a few moments and just share from you, from Nehemiah 2, my prayer for every one of you this morning is how to get the most out of this life. And I think the secret sauce of life this morning is to have the hand of God upon your life. If you're going to get the most out of life, you're going to have the hand of God on your life. And I want to share with you for a few moments how God did that with me, and I believe how he wants to do that with you from Nehemiah chapter 2. The scriptures say in Nehemiah 2, during the month of Nisan in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was set before him, I took the wine and I gave it to the king. And I had never been sad in his presence, so the king said to me, well, why are you sad when you aren't sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart. I was overwhelmed with fear, and I replied to the king, may the king live forever. Why should I not be sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? And then the king asked me, well, what's your request? So I prayed to the God of the heavens and answered the king, if it pleases the king and if your servants found favor with you, send me to Judah, which is Jerusalem, and to the city where my ancestors are buried so that I may rebuild it. And the king, with the queen seated beside him, asked, well, how long will your journey take and when will you return? So I gave him a definite time, and it pleased the king to send me. And I also said to the king, if it pleases the king, let me have letters written to the governors of the region west of the Euphrates River so that they will grant me the safe passage until I reach Judah. And let me also have a letter written to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so that he will give me timber to rebuild the gates of the temple's fortress, the city wall, and the home where I will live. And the king granted my request, for the gracious hand of God was upon me. See, the reality is, Life Point, is if you're a believer this morning, if you're someone who said, you know what, I realize I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, and you've asked Jesus to save you, you are saved to be sent on mission. We're not just to be members of a church, we're to be missionaries sent out of a church. Every day should be a mission trip for you and for me. Whether that's here in Columbus, whether that's across the street, whether that's in your network, whether that's on your campus, whether that's in your job, whether it's to those around you and your family, God's given you a sphere of influence, God's given you a network, and you're not just a member of a church, you're not just having a job. God calls you to leverage your influence for the kingdom. We're saved to be sent. Jesus said in John 20, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. See, the reality is in 2022, God may be calling you to a mission, and that mission may seem scary. That mission may seem like it's a stretch, but that mission could be sovereign. It could all be orchestrated by the hand of God upon your life. God could be calling you out into the water to something. You say, man, it's a little scary. But Jesus never said that there wouldn't be storms. Jesus never said that the water wouldn't be a little choppy. What he did say is, he says, I'll be with you in the boat and I'll get you through to the other side. Are you really willing to go wherever God calls you this year? There's four principles, and I'll move with pace this morning about how I want you to see how you can have the hand of God upon your life just as Nehemiah did. Number one, God saw that he could trust Nehemiah. But in chapter one, I just read chapter two, but in chapter one, the previous chapter, the first four verses, when Nehemiah hears about the walls of Jerusalem crumbling down, he doesn't just say, hey, let me get a social media campaign going. Let me get a quick quick marketing plan. What's the first thing that Nehemiah does in chapter 1? He prays, he weeps, and he fasts. You want to see God move in your life this year? You want to see God do something great in and through your life? You want to see, you have to have the hand of God upon it. And that starts by making sure the Lord can trust you with what he wants to do. Nehemiah had to pray, he had to weep, he had to fast. God was calling Nehemiah to go back to a city he'd only heard about. Nehemiah had never actually physically been to Jerusalem. He'd only heard about it. Why? Because he was born in exile in Babylon. He had heard about this place, but God was calling him to it. You got to be broken before the Lord and trust him. See, the reality is before there's activity for God, there's got to be intimacy with God. It's the second day, right? So we got all of our New Year's resolutions. We're going to read the Bible all the way through. We're on day two. So hopefully we haven't blown it already, right? We're on day two, chucking through the Bible this year in 2022. And here you see that the principle is our activity is to flow from intimacy. So we love Nehemiah 2. God does something great through Nehemiah, but before there's a Nehemiah 2, there's a Nehemiah 1. Before there's activity in chapter 2, there's intimacy in chapter 1. If you want God to do a great work through you, he has to first do a great work in you. People say you're only, coaches say you're only as good as your team. And I'm telling you, if you really want God to do something in your life, you're only as good as your time alone with him. God saw that he could trust Nehemiah. God was calling me in 2006, 2007. I was on staff at a great church in Memphis, Tennessee. That's where I was born and raised. Best barbecue in the world, all right? So I love Memphis, and I was born and raised there. But God was calling my wife and I. We were serving as the college pastor at a great mission church. And I went to a Thursday luncheon. We brought in all of our church planters and missionaries from around the world. And there I was having lunch, and I sat across the table on a Thursday at lunch in 2006 in November, and I met a guy who said, hey, I'm in the middle of starting a new church in Columbus, Ohio, and I said, well, what's your name? He said, my name is Dean Fulks, and he says, it's called Life Point, and I've been just watching the journey ever since. It's phenomenal being in this building and seeing all of you and what God has done in this multiplication of Life Point. You can praise God. You can clap. That's a good thing, right? It's amazing. And God began to call my wife and I, Jennifer, out of our church in Memphis and move to Columbus, Ohio. There was a church called Dublin Baptist Church. They were wanting to start a church in Marysville, but they didn't know who. God was calling me to Ohio, but I didn't know where to go. And within 24 hours, God connected my where with their who, and my wife and I, we sold everything we had back in 2007 during the recession. It was crazy. We sold both of our cars. We sold our dog, but he bit people, so we didn't think that would be good to start a church with a dog that bites people. We sold everything we had, but we kept our kid, you know? So our kid made the journey with us, and we planted a church called Living Hope in Marysville, Ohio, back in 2008. But sitting there in my office sometimes in Memphis, I would wrestle with the call of God because I had a really good job. I had two secretaries. I had a nice office. All the furniture matched. And I knew when you planted a church, the furniture you got didn't match. You know what I mean? And you were the assistant. And you got what everybody didn't want. And that was kind of what you did as a church planner. I remember sitting there in my office, you know, and going, man, I just don't know if I want to go. I just don't know if I want to go. And it's like the Lord spoke to me and said, you know what? Jeremy, you seem more interested in your kingdom than mine, so why don't you stay here in Memphis, and I'll find somebody else to go to Ohio and plant this church. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. If you'll give me one more shot, I'll go. And God said, sell the house, pack it up, and go. And we did. God has to trust you. How can we know what we know and still do what we do? See, if we can trust God with our lives eternally, why can't we trust him daily? God has to see that he can trust you. Number two, God spared Nehemiah's life. In chapter 2, the first four verses we just read, here it is. We just flip a page. We just scroll up on our phone or our iPad to go from chapter 1 to chapter 2. But you know what? 4 months pass between those two chapters. Nehemiah has a burden. He's got a passion to go follow God, to go rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. 4 months. See, it's just as much a sin to get ahead of the will of God as it is not to do the will of God. You can do the right thing at the wrong time in the wrong manner. You got to walk with the Lord every single day and follow him. As the cloud moves, you move. And here, Nehemiah is waiting, and all of a sudden, after 4 months, boom, he says, God tells me this is the moment. This is the moment for me to follow him. And so, what was the penalty for being sad before a king? Execution. We shouldn't even have a Nehemiah in the Bible. Chapter 2 should be it. This story should end with his execution. It's a miracle he lives after this moment. He is sad. The king recognizes it and says, that's why he says, I was overwhelmed with fear. Why? May the king live forever. I bet he was saying that. And all of a sudden, the king in a miracle says, what's your request? And what's he do? He prayed. Goes back to intimacy. See, Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, they will not burn you, and the flame will not consume you. God will be with you. He spared Nehemiah's life. We had just a few days to go. We were trying to sell our house. There was a realtor in our church. He was one of the best realtors in Memphis. He was a Christian. And he called me on the phone in my office. He said, hey, Jeremy, I just want you to know I can't sell your house. And I was like, well, man, you're a great realtor. and you're a believer. Like, what do you mean you can't sell my house? He goes, the market's too bad. It's only God can sell your house. Can I tell you, God's the best real estate agent you'll ever have. God's above the economy. I could take a baseball, walk out on my front doorstep, and hit 7 homes with for sale signs. If you remember 2007, 2008, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Market was tanking, home values dropping, equity upside down. It was nuts. People around me, one of my neighbors was excited. He said, hey, man, I sold my house, and I took out a $10,000 loan to sell it. I was like, you're excited about that? Yeah, I mean, and I was kind of starting to feel like maybe I'll get excited about that. I was in our staff time with our team in Memphis, and they're in the room, and it was about a month ago, and people were saying, what are you going to do? Are you going to move to Ohio, or are you going to stay here? What's going to happen? I was like, listen, I've learned this lesson. I'm going to follow God, and he's going to sell our house. I don't know how. I don't know when, but I know it's going to happen. That afternoon, we got a call, and we had an offer on the house. By the time it was all said and done, I did not take out a $10,000 loan, and I made $47 on the house. I took my wife, I said, we're going out back, you know what I mean? So I'll even get you an appetizer on me tonight. I was so happy, best $47 I made in my life. God spared Nehemiah's life. God began to move in our life that we could never imagine. Number 3, God sends Nehemiah on his journey, verses 5 and 6. He answered the king, if it pleases the king and if your servants found favor with you, send me to Judah, to the city where our ancestors are buried so that I may rebuild it. And the king, with the queen seated beside him, said, well, how long will your journey take, and when are you going to return? And I gave him a time, and it pleased the king to send me. And just as Nehemiah gets to live, he also gets to be sent. God sent us, plucked us out of our roots and our system there in Memphis. People began to whisper in my ear. They're like, well, do you really want to go? I mean, even after all of that, people are saying, do you really want to go? I mean, the pastor here, he's going to retire soon, and you're loved here, and this is what you know, and that things are going so good, and don't you know about Ohio? And I was like, why don't you tell me about Ohio, you know? And they're like, well, it's cold there, and it snows, and they don't have a lot of good southern barbecue, you know? And what about sweet tea? You love sweet tea. How are you going to survive without sweet tea? I just want you to know, when we moved to Marysville, there were only 2 restaurants that served sweet tea. And when we left in 2016, there were 5 restaurants that served sweet tea. So God was on the move. You got to trust. You got to trust the Lord. God sent Nehemiah on his journey. God sent us on our journey. Families were moving. They were selling homes, relocating to come be a part of what God was doing. And God did a great work in that church plant. God continues to grow and move in that church. But it's not about any one person. It's about what God did, not what any human did. People began to sell and move. There was even one story where this one man came. We were having a car wash there on our at a Burger King there in the city. And we were, you know, doing free car washes. And this guy, he pulls up and he says, hey, you know, he about ran off the road, hit a telephone pole on the main strip there in Marysville. And he gets out of the car. You know, there's just some people, when they get out of the car rises. And this was that guy that you want on your security team, you know. And he gets up out of the car rises, and he says, who's the pastor of this church? And I'm like, man, we're just washing cars. You know what I mean? Like, what's the big deal here? He goes, who's the pastor? And I looked at my youth guy, and I said, him. He's the guy. And my youth guy said, nope, that's him right there. And I said, can I help you? He said, you wouldn't believe this. He said, I almost ran off the road and hit a telephone pole. And I said, yeah, I saw, you know. He said, well, he goes, we're moving from Kentucky in a city called Bowling Green up here, and we've been praying for a church to attend. And he said, I saw the name of your sign. Is it really Living Hope? And I said, yes, sir, it is. He said, well, we attend a church called Living Hope in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And we've been praying for a year that God would send us to the right church. And they came the next Sunday, we were meeting in a school, joined the church, and never looked back. See, it's not about our story, it's about God's activity and what he's already doing around us. We just get to be a part of it. And God continually is reminding us that he will supply all of our needs. He will take care of us. Nehemiah had to be trusted. God saw that he could trust him. God spared his life. He sends him on his journey. Nehemiah gets to live. That's the first miracle. Then, not only does he get to live, but he gets to be sent on his journey. It's a miracle moment. What happened, though, to Nehemiah? Nehemiah just didn't say, hey, here's the plan. I'm going to go execute. No, Nehemiah was constantly broken before God, constantly in prayer and weeping and fasting and seeking him. Okay, my prayer for me and my prayer for you for 2022 is that intimacy would take place before activity. That God could see that he could trust us. Because when God does something great in our lives, in and through us, it's never because of us. It's always because of him. God moved in our church in spite of me, not because of me. God's activity came from intimacy from the Father. You need to have the hand of God upon your life this year. Adrian Rogers was a pastor who's now in heaven. He said, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Some of you just hit rock bottom, and you're here today beginning a new year. And can I tell you, as happy as I am that your resolution is to go to church, that's a great thing to do. The greater resolution is not just to go to church and to have a resolution, but to have a relationship with the one true God. Some of you are lonely this morning and you're struggling. You can be in a crowd of people and feel more alone than ever. And God wants to be real to you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And you're not an accident, and you're not here by chance today. God brought you here by divine appointment today. And just like he spared Nehemiah's life and did a great work in Nehemiah's life, he wants to do the same thing in and through you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to trust him. Sometimes when you hit rock bottom, it's because God wants you to know that he's the rock at the bottom. Number four and last, God supplied Nehemiah's vision. Verses 7 and 8. I also said to the king, if it pleases the king, let me have letters written. Give me a letter. Give me a letter. I mean, he's just going for it. You know what I mean? It's like I always told my boys playing baseball when I would coach them, I don't care if you strike out. Just don't get caught looking. Go down swinging, you know? And it's like Nehemiah's here. He's like, I'm going to go down swinging. Hey, he's let me live, you know? So if I'm alive, I might as well ask. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. So here's Nehemiah. He's just asking. He's like, hey, by the way, thanks for letting me live. Thanks for sending me on my journey. While you're at it, can you give me some letters and give me some resources and give me some money? And he just keeps on getting. And God blesses, and he blesses, and he blesses. Whatever God orders, he pays for. And wherever God guides, he provides. And we saw that with our church campus, just like you saw it here with your church campus. Story after story, moment after moment, we began to pray, asking God, Lord, we're here. We have this body of believers here. We have a new church here. We need a home. We need a place to take the wheels off and not be the wandering kids of Israel every Sunday. You know what I mean? It's like, where are we going to land? Where are we going to have a home? I don't have time to go into it, but I'll just tell you this. In a matter of a year, the Lord helped us raise almost $1 million for us to purchase and renovate a campus debt-free to the glory of God. And we moved in that thing and began to see people reaching a city, multiplying believers, starting our first church campus in 2016 and 2017. God did all of that. Why? Because it was his hand. It was his hand. There was a moment when we were trying to get the property and buy the property we were, where we were down to 24 hours. There was a bid on this property, and I believe God wanted us to do it with cash and to be debt free. And we were down to 24 hours. The realtor called and said, hey, you got 24 hours to raise $76,000 or you lose. And I was like, well, I think God can do it. And he said, well, let's see what your God can do. I was like, it's on, Jack. Let's see what happens. You know what I mean? And so made a couple of phone calls, prayed. By the time I went to bed that night, a finance team in Tennessee called me at 9:30 and I said, hey, Jeremy, go to bed, sleep well, because God's got this and the money's on the way. And so the next morning, I called a realtor. I said, hey, God did it. We got the money. Great. Take all my guys out to lunch. I'm so excited. While I'm at lunch, a realtor calls, hey, by the way, the price just went up. I'm like, wait a minute, man. Is this an auction? Like, what is this? And I said, what's it going to take to finally, like, win this property so we can have a church? And he told me the number. We didn't really have that, but we kind of made a faith step. That afternoon, got a phone call from a guy. I was driving up in our house getting the mail about 5:30 in the afternoon, And a guy in our church who had been coming new, he said, "Hey, Jeremy, I just want you to know, I feel like God wants me to call you and tell you that I'm just sending a $10,000 check your way. Do with it what you want." I was like, "Well, you don't know what happened 2 hours ago. We just made a $19,000 offer extra on this property. We just didn't know where it was going to come from. And here you are an hour and a half later telling me that." He called back 20 minutes later and said, "The other $9,000 is on the way." So within an hour and a half, 2 hours, God had raised the entire thing. It just lets you know that God does what he wants, right? It's not us. It's not us. It's him. And God wants you to step out and to obey. The reality is, as I close, what you need in 2022 in your life is not more money in the bank, not more degrees on the wall, and not more influence and followers on social media. Nothing's wrong with having degrees on the wall. Nothing's wrong with social media influence. And nothing's wrong with investing and having money in the bank. But that's not the first thing that we should run after. What we need in 2022 is the hand of God upon our life. God doesn't call you to be successful. He calls you to be faithful. And when you're faithful in him, he'll make you successful for him in his kingdom. See, the reality is, someone's waiting on the other side of your obedience today. Someone's waiting on the other side of your obedience. When I was 3 years old, my dad left and kind of walked out, put us on the street. I remember being 3 years old, sitting there in Memphis with little action figures called He-Man. And I had He-Man, I had Battle Cat, and a pile of clothes. And that's what I had. I don't come from a line of pastors, and it's not who I am. My grandfather was a truck driver for Kroger, loved the Lord, faithful to his wife, married almost 60 years, faithful to the same church for 50 years, worked for Elvis for 6 months, you know. I mean, that was my influence. It was my papa. Sad things I can't get back. To this day, I regret. I was mad, upset, hurt. My dad finds me on the internet, emails me and says, "Hey, I've been listening to your sermons. I hear you're in Ohio." What? What do you do in that moment? And I go home. My wife, Jennifer, far wiser, godlier than I said, "I don't know what to do. I'm mad." She said, "I'm praying for you, but you have to respond." See, intimacy before activity. God took me back to the principle all over again. And the Lord whispered in my ear and said, "You know, if you can't forgive your dad, how can I forgive you? For Jesus said, how can I forgive you your trespasses if you don't forgive other men their trespasses?" And it was like the Lord saying, if you preach forgiveness, you have to live it. So I type back. You ever just type back words that you're like, "Man, I don't even know how I'm doing this," and the Lord's just doing it. And I type back those words, and I said, "Sure, I'd love to see you." We meet for dinner. He said, "Hey, I'm actually going to be in town in a place called Dublin. You ever heard of it?" Yeah. I've heard of Dublin. Just go there 3 times a week. Yeah. I said, "Let's meet for dinner." We meet for dinner. Incredible dinner. Kind of awkward. He pays for it. It's a good start, you know? And so we have dinner. And then he says, "You know, I really love seeing you." And I said the next word. I said, "Hey, you want to meet your grandkids?" And he said, "I thought you never asked." I said, "Me either." And he comes out the next night, and there in my house in Marysville, there's my oldest son who was 5, my daughter was 1, in there in the living room playing the Nintendo Wii. That was the thing back then, Mario Kart. And the gospel was happening in our home. My dad comes to church that Sunday meeting in school. I'm so nervous. If you're an athlete, you know what it's like before you play a big game, how you feel. That's how I felt. And he comes that Sunday, and my dad does, and I said, "How'd you like it?" He said, "Man, it was really cool. Got a good band. I could wear jeans and drink coffee. Really, really nice." Well, he comes back 6 months later, And that day, my dad made peace with the Lord, and my dad made peace with me. And so we have a relationship now based upon the gospel. And the first person I called 5 years ago when God called me to go to Florida to be a part of a movement to plant churches globally was my dad. And the first person I called 6 months ago to say, guess what, we're moving back to Ohio, you know who it was I called? My dad. And he was here 2 weeks ago, sitting in this room in service. You know why? Because it's not about you or me, it's about God's activity in and through us. And God's calling us, you and I, to be on mission for him. Someone's waiting on the other side of your obedience today. God could be calling you to go across the street. He could be calling you to go around the world. And I'm convinced if I had stayed in my nice office and comfortable church in Memphis and not moved to Ohio, I don't think I could have reached my dad. And I think God was calling me out and stretching me for many reasons in many ways. Through all my faults and through all my failures as a young leader, in spite of all of that, God moved and did a great work. Why? Because it was the hand of the Lord. And that's my prayer for myself this year, my prayer for you, that the hand of God will be upon your life. Because he wants to do a great work in you so that he can do a great work through you. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit of God, I thank you so much for this moment, for this church, for those who are in this room. And God, it's evident and it's clear that no one's here by mistake. Everyone is in this room for a divine reason and appointment. And God, I'm convinced that you want to do a great work in us. And for some this morning, that may mean beginning this new year of surrendering today their life to you for the first time. God, if there's anybody here who may have walked in here without you, having a relationship with you, God, I pray that today they would leave this place with you, having a relationship with you, the one true God. And for those of us in this room who are believers, we've trusted you as our Savior. Remind us of these principles this year. Reset our focus to what you want us to be and to do for your kingdom. Remind us it's not us, it's fully about you. May your hand be upon our life. That is my prayer in Jesus' name.
As Jeremy taught this morning, you are here and you realize you don't have a relationship with Christ. Listen, the same God who worked in Jeremy's dad's life to bring him to faith years ago will work in your life. And just like he stepped Jeremy's dad into that, he'll step you into that. If you would like to take the opportunity to follow Christ in a personal way this morning, we would love to help you do that. If you'll exit out the aisleway on my left, over your right shoulder, there's a door, a glass that you'll see there that says Next Steps on it. We have a Next Steps team in there. They have gray t-shirts on. And their specific purpose is to be there to help you if you want to take steps to follow Christ this morning. They'd love to talk to you about that. If you have a prayer request, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, they'd love to take the opportunity to pray with you this morning about whatever it is that you would like to share with them. If you'd like to engage in the conversation about going public with your faith through baptism, you can stop there and begin that conversation about what that's like this morning as well. Again, if you're our guest, we're so grateful that you're here and you're with us. The only thing that we would ask for from you as our guest is if you'll take out your smartphone before you leave, open up your camera app, put it on the QR code that's on one of the chairs that's in front of you. Take less than a minute to fill out that digital guest card. On the bottom of that card, there are four ministries there that we're already partnered with. If you'll choose one of those, we'll make an additional $5 donation in your honor just so you can do something good and kind by being here, by being with us this morning. And again, we're grateful that you're with us. For those of you who are regular attenders and members, we're always grateful for your generosity. Talking about our partnerships nationally and at a statewide level, and then really locally, God has impacted our church through the people that we are able to send. Right now, we have folks from our church who are home from overseas. We have Jeremy and Suhaley, David and Tiff. They represent peoples in Southern Europe and Southeast Asia that are being reached this morning. At our Delaware campus, we have two students from our 1825 ministry who are, one, Meredith Hover, is just coming back from Europe. One is being sent. Michaela Trabella is going to Asia this morning. So I would just ask that you take the time to pray for them, especially pray for Michaela as we're launching and sending her halfway around the world for the next 4 to 6 months. She'll be there. She'll be serving faithfully there. Last thing, I'll just remind you, next Sunday we start a brand new series called Built to Last. And we felt like as we started a brand new year, the best thing that we could do is come back to the core foundation of our faith. We're going to talk about what it's like to take your life, so to speak, down to the studs and start from the beginning. What is foundational? What is important as we begin a brand new year together? If you would, just thank Jeremy one more time for being with us, for his leadership. You know, as I listen to what God did at Living Hope Marysville, whenever God planted there through Jeremy, and I hear that, I hear, you know, $9,000 check, $10,000 check, $40,000 check, just bam, bam, bam. You know, it's obviously inspirational, but I want Jeremy's phone contacts. So you just go talk to him after service. I'm sure he'll be willing to give those out to you guys. Listen, once again, thanks for being here. Hope to see you back next Sunday as we jump into a brand new series. God bless. Have a great week.